Welcome to Canvas Digest, the show where we make Canvas simpler, smarter, and easier to use. In today's episode, we're talking about one of the most useful time-saving tools in Canvas, copying course content. We'll walk through how to reuse materials from a previous course, what to know when working with a master course, and why permissions matter when someone else's content is involved. We'll also cover one important step that can save a lot of confusion later. So for our discussion today, we're focusing on one of the most powerful yet subtly dangerous tools you have.
Yeah.
The Canvas course copy feature.
It's a lifesaver, but it has teeth.
It really does. So our mission today is to look at the exact mechanics, the hidden pitfalls, and the best practices of migrating your course content so you never have to rebuild a class from scratch again.
Right. And it allows you to take the overarching architecture you've already built.
The assignments, the pages, all of that.
Exactly. The carefully formatted pages, the module progressions, and just migrate that entire structure over for the new term. Utilizing this tool requires a very specific strategic mindset.
Which is what we really want to dig into today.
Right, because we need to anchor our exploration on one core thesis here, and that is copying a course gives you a strong starting foundation, but it is never a final finished product.
That thesis is so vital because I think people hear the word copy and they immediately equate it with done.
Oh, all the time.
They treat it like hitting copy-paste on a Word document. Like, you highlight the text, paste it onto page two, and you just walk away.
Which is a really dangerous oversimplification of how Canvas actually handles your data.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you initiate a course copy, you are essentially initiating a massive database transfer. Canvas is looking at all the relational links between your rubrics, your question banks, your multimedia files, and your assignment pages. And it's mapping them into a totally new container.
So to avoid making a massive mess during that data transfer, we really have to understand the actual mechanics. Like, how does this digital move operate under the hood?
Well, the foundational rule of migrating Canvas content is that you must always, always initiate the process from the destination course.
Wait, really? The destination course?
Yes. You start in the new empty shell. You do not go to your old finished course and try to push the content out.
Oh, interesting. So you stand in the new house and you basically command the system to pull the boxes in.
That's it, exactly. You pull, you don't push.
I want to highlight the logic behind that because it prevents catastrophic overwrites.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if Canvas allowed you to push data from an old course into an active course, you could accidentally overwrite a class that is currently in session.
And that does happen with other systems.
Yeah.
But by forcing you to start in the empty destination shell.
Right. Going to the settings menu and selecting import course content.
Yeah. Selecting that, the system ensures you are only pulling data into a safe, controlled sandbox. That pull mechanism safeguards the integrity of your active data.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
But once you select the source you want to pull from, Canvas presents you with a critical decision point.
The big choice.
Right. You are asked if you want to import all content or select specific content.
And here is where I see the absolute biggest trap in the entire migration process. Human nature dictates that we don't want to lose anything. So the instinct is to just, you know, select all content. Hit the button and relax.
Of course. It's the default option for a reason.
I actually think the copy all default is a massive mistake. Wait, if I just hit copy all by default, aren't I just hoarding digital clutter?
You are. You're dragging every single thing over.
Right. Like, if I only need a few quizzes for a slightly modified variation of a class this spring, isn't it better to selectively import so I don't drag over last semester's junk?
100%. Choosing selective import over a full copy can prevent the exact scenario where you spend more time cleaning up imported garbage than you would have spent just planning carefully.
Because if you do that semester after semester, hit copy all, suddenly your file section has 14 different versions of a syllabus.
Oh, yes. Final V3 Spring 2019. Actually, final.pdf.
Exactly. It's a nightmare.
And that digital clutter has real-world consequences for your students, too.
How so?
Well, if a Canvas shell is bloated with deprecated files and hidden pages, the internal search functions become completely compromised.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about the search function.
Yeah, a student might search for the midterm study guide, right?
Yeah.
And they accidentally pull up the version from 3 years ago because it's still sitting dormant in the back end files.
That is, wow, that's a recipe for disaster.
It really is. So selecting specific content is the cure to that database bloat.
It forces you to be intentional. You're basically telling Canvas, I only want module 1, module 3, and these two specific assignment groups.
Yes. It is the equivalent of leaving the boxes labeled miscellaneous basement junk at the old house.
Just leave them on the curb. I love that.
So taking that intentionality a step further, the mechanics of how you pull the content are heavily influenced by the source material itself.
Right. Where the data is actually coming from.
Exactly. The origin of the data dramatically changes your workflow, your workload, and honestly, your pedagogical constraints.
We can categorize this into, I think, three distinct scenarios, right? Or flavors of copying.
Yeah, three flavors.
Migrating your own course, importing a master course, and borrowing a colleague's course. Let's break down that first scenario.
Okay, your own course.
Migrating your own previous course has to be the most common use case.
Oh, by far. If you taught Intro to Psychology in the fall, you just pull your fall data into your spring shell.
You're the author, you built the architecture, so the familiarity is incredibly high. You know where everything is.
And the time saved there is unparalleled. The structural skeleton is already intact.
So you're mostly just updating your welcome announcements, maybe swapping out a few dated readings.
Right, adjusting the introductory modules. However, that high degree of familiarity often breeds a really dangerous level of blindness.
Blindness, what do you mean?
Well, when you pull your own course data, it carries over exactly as it existed on the last day of the previous term.
Oh, right. Which means your old mistakes carry over, too. That typo in week 4's discussion prompt that absolutely haunted you last semester.
It's going to migrate right along with the good content.
It's like bringing a broken chair to the new house and just setting it in the living room again.
Yes, along with highly contextual examples.
Like what?
So let's say you recorded a lecture video referencing a specific storm happening outside your window.
Oh, yeah. Look at this blizzard out there, guys.
Exactly. Or maybe a news event broke that particular week. If you reuse that video 3 years later in a spring semester, it shatters the illusion of active presence for the student.
Right. They immediately know you're just phoning it in from the archives.
Right. It requires a deliberate, meticulous review phase to scrub those contextual markers out.
It also brings up a larger philosophical issue, I think, about teaching on autopilot.
How do you mean?
Well, if I perfectly streamline the process of copying my own course, I kind of remove the friction of lesson planning. And friction is often where innovation happens, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
If it takes me 2 seconds to populate my entire semester, I might stop asking myself if last year's essay prompt is actually still the best way to assess the material.
Efficiency can absolutely become the enemy of evolution.
Huh.
If you're entirely reliant on your own past database, your curriculum just becomes stagnant.
You're just playing the greatest hits from 2018 forever.
Right, which is a stark contrast to the second scenario, where the origin of the data isn't yours at all.
Ah, the master course scenario.
Yes.
For our listeners navigating large departments, this is incredibly common. A master course is essentially a shared, centralized Canvas shell.
Right. It contains all the foundational content for a specific program.
So if a university has 20 different sections of Biology 101 taught by 15 different adjuncts and professors, the department uses a master course to keep everyone aligned.
Exactly.
It's essentially the franchise model of education. Think about opening a franchise restaurant. You'll hand it the standardized menus, the exact recipes, the corporate branding.
And the institutional benefits of that franchise model are undeniable. I mean, a master course reduces wild variations in the curriculum.
So a student taking Section A receives the same core competencies as a student taking Section Z.
Exactly. It guarantees that all accreditation standards are embedded uniformly across the board.
And from a student support perspective, it's brilliant. The university IT help desk doesn't have to guess how your specific course is structured.
Because the navigation menu and module layout look exactly the same across all 20 sections.
Right. The student experience is highly predictable. But as the instructor, the franchise owner, so to speak, I suddenly have way less room to customize the daily specials.
Right, you're locked in.
Like, I can't decide to serve pizza if I'm locked into a burger franchise template.
That introduces a really significant tension between standardization and academic freedom.
Oh, big time.
Because when you import from a heavily built-out master template, you're navigating the expectations of the department. You have to determine the strictness of the framework.
Like, how much can I actually change?
Exactly. Is the master course an immutable foundation where you're only allowed to add your office hours in a personal welcome video? Or Is it a loose skeleton that you are actively encouraged to modify, expand, and tear apart?
That's a great point. You really have to know the culture of your department before you pull that data. It's a structural question, not just a technical one.
Definitely.
Which brings us to the third scenario, pulling data from a colleague's course.
Oh, this one is tricky.
Let's say you aren't using a master shell, but a fellow instructor down the hall taught a brilliant seminar on the French Revolution last year.
Sure.
And you want to borrow their module structure. Can you just search for their course in the Canvas import menu and grab their digital recipe book?
You will find very quickly that Canvas data silos are designed to prevent exactly that.
Really? It just blocks you.
Completely. You cannot assume access to another instructor's database. Cross-pollinating course content requires explicit permissions mapped out within the system architecture.
So even if I can see the course title in the search dropdown, the system will block the data transfer.
Yes. If you are not officially enrolled as a teacher or designer in that specific shell, you can't touch it.
Because of intellectual property policies.
Intellectual property and data privacy guardrails are coded right into those permissions. The instructor who authored the material must formally grant access.
So I can't just sneak in and borrow a quiz.
No. Practically speaking, in many institutional setups, the instructors cannot even execute this transfer themselves.
Wait, really? Even if they both agree?
Even then. They often have to broker the exchange through an instructional designer or the IT support staff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because those folks have the administrative privileges to link the two databases and facilitate the transfer safely.
Okay, so the golden rule of source material is clear.
Hmm.
If you offer the data, you can pull it freely.
Yep.
If the department authored the data, pull it, but understand the franchise rules. And if a colleague authored it, stop, verify the intellectual property protocols, and involve your administrative support to unlock the data silos.
Exactly. But honestly, regardless of which source you utilize, there's another issue.
Oh.
Yeah. The moment that import progress bar hits 100%, you are immediately confronted with the single most destructive hazard of course migration.
Oh, the cascading calendar failure.
Yes. The ghost of schedules past.
This is where the time-saving tool becomes a literal nightmare if you aren't paying attention.
Completely. Because when you initiate a data pull, Canvas defaults to bringing over every single piece of metadata associated with your content.
Meaning what, exactly?
It includes your entire historical timeline. Every due date, every module unlock date, every calendar event, and every delayed announcement is pulled into the new shell.
So if I pull a course from the fall of 2023 into the spring of 2024, and I just let that metadata ride, I create severe temporal whiplash for my students.
That is the perfect term for it, temporal whiplash.
Right.
Because picture this. A student logs in on the very first day of the new term. They click on their dashboard, and their to-do list informs them that they have 15 assignments that are already 6 months overdue.
Panic is immediate.
Immediate panic. The student inbox floods with terrified emails. Professor, I didn't know we had a paper due in October of last year.
And the entire tone of the first week is ruined because the digital architecture is actively lying to them about their responsibilities.
It is. But thankfully, Canvas anticipates this cascading calendar failure. They provide a specific mitigation tool right on the import screen.
Okay, good.
Yeah, before you finalize the data pull, there's an options menu labeled Adjust Events and Due Dates.
Right, so the system allows you to either shift the dates forward to match the new semester or remove the dates entirely.
Exactly. Two choices.
Now, I know some instructors love the shift dates tool. They basically tell Canvas, hey, my old class started on a Monday in September. My new class starts on a Monday in January. Just push everything forward 16 weeks.
They do love that. But shifting dates mathematically is incredibly fragile.
Fragile? How so?
Well, it's fragile because academic calendars are rarely perfectly symmetrical.
Oh, right. Holidays.
Exactly. A 16-week shift maps Monday to Monday, sure, but it completely ignores the organic disruptions of a specific term.
So a Tuesday assignment that worked perfectly in the fall
might suddenly land directly on a spring holiday or right in the middle of spring break.
Oh, man.
Canvas will faithfully execute the math you asked for and dump a major midterm on a day the university is closed.
Which means you still have to go through and manually audit every single deadline anyway, just to catch those misalignments.
Exactly. That renders the shift dates function highly inefficient for precise planning. You think you saved time, but you didn't.
So what's the alternative?
The structurally safer, much cleaner method is selecting the option to remove dates.
You just strip the temporal metadata out entirely.
Exactly. By checking remove dates during the import, Candace brings over all the text, the rubrics, the embedded videos, and the assignment descriptions. But it wipes the scheduling slate completely clean.
It just parks all of your modules in an undated staging area.
Yep.
Wait, if I forget to check the remove dates box during import, what happens? Like, if I'm rushing to prep my shell before a faculty meeting, am I doomed to manually edit every single assignment to fix the calendar?
Well, you're not doomed, but the cleanup process is excruciating.
I can imagine.
You have to open the course, click into every single assignment individually, hit edit, scroll down to the calendar widget, delete the 2023 date, manually enter the 2024 date, and save it.
Ugh, that sounds terrible.
And if you have 60 graded items spread across a semester, you are executing that manual multi-click process 60 separate times.
That's agonizing.
Failing to wipe the dates up front entirely negates the time-saving purpose of the migration tool. It creates exactly the kind of tedious cleanup that leaves instructors frustrated.
So checking that box is vital.
The remove dates checkbox is honestly the single most valuable click in the entire platform. Clearing the schedule during import gives you the content without the clutter of last term's timeline.
And honestly, it forces you to rebuild the timeline with intention.
Exactly.
You look at the current syllabus, you look at the current holidays, and you assign the dates fresh. Which brings us back to that tension between efficiency and the pedagogical autopilot we talked about earlier.
Yeah, the necessary friction.
Right. Stripping the dates forces you to touch the material again, which might prompt you to realize that, oh, hey, week 4's reading is a little outdated and needs to be replaced.
It injects just enough of that necessary friction into the process to ensure you are actively managing the curriculum, rather than just hosting a museum of your past semesters.
A museum of past semesters. I love that. So as you, our listener, prepare to migrate your own digital classrooms for the upcoming term, let's distill the core mechanics and strategies we've explored today.
That's good.
First, always initiate the pull from your empty destination shell to protect your data integrity. Second, fight the urge to hoard. Utilize selective import to leave deprecated files behind and keep your database clean.
Third, acknowledge the origin of your data. Understand the institutional expectations if you are utilizing a master course, and respect the administrative silos if you are attempting to borrow a colleague's architecture.
Absolutely. And finally, always utilize the remove dates function to avoid cascading calendar failures and temporal whiplash for your students.
Because a little planning at the beginning saves a massive amount of cleanup at the end. The imported shell is your foundation, not the finish line.
Right. You still have to walk through the new house, check the structural integrity of the external links, ensure the homepage welcomes the current cohort, and intentionally build a new timeline.
You still have to arrange the furniture.
Exactly. But I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over, expanding on that idea of necessary friction. We are constantly searching for tools that eliminate the repetitive administrative burdens of our work so we have more time to actually teach. And the Canvas copy feature is a masterpiece of eliminating administrative burden.
It really is.
But if we get too efficient at perfectly replicating our past successes, how do we ensure we don't accidentally design out our own growth? How do we balance the incredible sanity-saving power of database migration with the friction required to actually evolve and improve our curriculum year after year?
That's the real question.
Because at the end of the day, moving into a new digital house shouldn't just be about unpacking the exact same boxes. It should be an opportunity to build a better place for your students to live and learn.
That wraps up this episode of Canvas Digest. We've looked at how course copying can save time, support consistency, and make course setup much easier, especially when you're starting with an existing shell. We also talked about the importance of reviewing imported content, checking permissions, and removing outdated dates before students see the course. A good copy can give you a strong head start, but a careful review is what makes it truly ready for a new term. Thanks for listening. And join us next time for more practical tips to help you work better in Canvas.